And I would also suggest that everybody go on mute unless you need to speak.
Concur.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get my old Sealand prop here and...
Including me.
Call the meeting to order. Diane, can we do a roll call? I guess you can see them, but maybe you don't. I don't know. Jim, do we have anyone new? Do we figure out who the others are?
Sorry, I was unmuting there. I don't know who it is who has a phone number that ends in 9449 or 7305.
On 9449, Eugene Haberman.
Oh, hi. So Eugene is here. And then who ends in 7305? We have a mystery guest.
Was that Eugene or Lev?
Well, Eugene was the first person, so he's here. I'm not sure who the 7305 is. I can go check my directory later and figure it out.
Well, Ben, did you get the roll call for the commissioners?
Yes, I did.
Okay, can we ask again who else is on here?
Do you want me to read that? Would it be easiest if I just read who is in?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So Andy M., Aves Thompson, Cheryl Beckham, Bob P., Brad Kroon, Captain Ron, Garrett, Shannon Martindale, Steve Rebuffo, Paul Rodkiss, Simon Lipinski, I'm sorry, I butchered that one, Stephanie Kessler, Tom Reuter, Sharon Walsh, Eugene Haberman, our mystery guest, Alex Hoffman, Casey Sullivan, Dylan Faber. And then Diane is here in the office with me.
Okay. Can we get a safety moment there, Paul?
Sure. Good morning. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
We good. Can. I feel like one of the cool kids because I'm on Teams with you guys now. Anyways, I'm sure everyone knows. But I just want to point out a couple of things about the COVID-19. The overall goal is still flattening the curve, and when I call into the emergency operations center every other day and every day now, we're doing that as we all know that we've heard from the governor and the mayor and Bill Falsey, the incident commander. So keep on with the 6-foot minimum social distancing. We're not out of the woods yet. To clarify just a couple things on gloves and COVID-19. I don't know who started this wearing nitrile gloves, and what I think has happened, it gives people a false sense of security and leads people in contaminating more things because they think they're immune because they have gloves on. Keep in mind, gloves are just meant to prevent something from getting into your body through absorption. They're you know, it's just not an effective PPE tool for COVID. And then, lastly, on masks, you know, we've all heard this N95, and just what does that mean? Well, N is the designator for not oil resistant. That's what N means. 95 is 90, it'll filter out 95% of particulates of a 0.3 micron size. I know this is all kind of nerdy and stuff, but it gives you guys a general idea what that N95 means. Now, there are an R95 and a P95, and there's also N99 and N100. So the higher the number, the more protective. R, if you see a designator R, that means it's oil resistant. P means it's oil proof. So you know how the NRP stands for not oil resistant, resistant than proof. And, of course, with the numbers, the percentage of particulates at that given size. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I explained that the other day at the EOC because people just didn't know what N95 meant. And, you know, we hear it on the news and we hear it thrown out there, but that'll give you guys kind of an idea what that means.
What was the number on the Chinese one, Paul? Do you remember?
Yeah, it'll still be a 9, sir, but if it's a Chinese one, it'll have the K before the N, so it'll be a KN95. Does that make sense?
Any difference on quality, you know?
You know, I couldn't tell you, Brad. I don't know. All I know is that the NIOSH, National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, for us here in the States, we don't have a K designator. That's just China's actual designator. There's one from Korea as well. That's a KR designator, then the N, so KRN if it's from Korea.
This is Steve, but I can share. You know, I was on a teleconference this morning with about 25 other port directors that AAPA sponsors weekly. And there are a couple of the bigger ports on the coasts that are ordering their masks directly from China and distributing them for, you know, for use. So there doesn't appear to be a quality concern yet from that community.
Okay. Anything else, Paul?
Nope, that's it, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So do we have a motion in a second for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Good.
We have a... approval from Ron and a second from Stephen. How about a motion for approval of the March 11th, 2020 meeting minutes? I just have a minor grammatical addition.
So moved.
Second. It's A's.
Okay, so on the page 2, on the bottom last sentence, finally, Mr. Rebuffo informed the commission that once approved, there would be some staff duty realignments. The B is missing. Would be my only recommendation.
That's an easy fix. I was worried there for a second. I thought you said you had a dramatic comment.
Oh, no, minor.
Okay.
Oh. So moved with some minor grammatical correction.
To be or not to be.
There you go. Moving on, we're getting into the port director comments. Steve?
Okay, I would ask you, Brad, I don't have a copy of the agenda in front of me, so if you could hold my hand and lead me through. I'll get started because I think I know what a couple of them are, but after that... If I start leaving stuff out, I will appreciate it. You give me the cue
yes.
On what did you want to hear me say.
Newport of Alaska staff responsibilities, titles, and positions is item 8.
Okay. So now we're going to venture into an old dog learning a new trick. I'm gonna share my screen with you in the hopes of kind of giving you something to look at while I explain what's going on. Can everybody see this, and is it big enough?
Can't see it. It's not being shared yet.
Oh, I hit the
public doesn't see it.
Let me try again to hit the share. Sure. Okay. It's like it turned it off. Where Where did it go?
Yeah, I know, they move. If you click in anywhere in your Teams window, the bar, the menu bar should show up the bottom, near the bottom, and then it's...
How about now?
Well, you have a red border around if you go back to your Teams thing.
Go back to my Teams thing here?
Right, yep. Then click right there.
Right
that
here.
Arrow. See that arrow?
Yes.
Click that.
But I did.
Right, but then you've got to go through it and click the thing you want to share, which is that. There you go. Now they should see it. When you have a red border.
Oh. Yep, you're there.
Okay. Thank you. Somebody taught a man to fish. So here we are. Okay, and I believe the commissioners have seen this. I shared this when I sent the email out to all that talked about where it was we were attempting to go. And I don't want to call it a reorganization per se, because for the most part, nothing substantive has changed here, but beyond the fact that there has been a realignment of duties and responsibilities, from some of the old positions to some of the new positions because of, not only personnel leaving, but, and new folks coming. But because we needed to at least take some of the burden off of Sharon, who as a deputy port director, had taken on a massive amount of workload, and that all needed to be reassigned to some folks, and also to make up for the fact that we lost Stewart, and we needed to take a look at. Whether or not the workload that Stewart had was the right thing to do to the new person coming in and replacing. So let's start with what it is we're looking at here. This is the org chart as the port has. This is what I requested when I went to the municipal manager a few months back and asked permission to change things up a little bit here with respect to the workloads that people had. What you'll notice first off is Sharon used to have the duty title of deputy port director. And under that, not only did she do everything that the deputy port director did, but because we didn't have a port engineer, she was, and coincidentally she was one, we put the workload of the port engineer for the day-to-day existing port responsibilities on her shoulders. And on top of that, we added the responsibility for overseeing the modernization program. A ton of stuff for one person to do. Now that we are off and running in earnest with the construction around here, that needs to be the focus. And there needs to be some of that workload taken off of her. And on top of that, not only did she do all of that stuff, but she has also been our GIS advocate with the city and for bringing the port up to speed on all things GIS, and the senior grant writer for all those grants that we were successful getting. And in her spare time, she slept. So we needed to do something to take some of that workload off. So what we've done is everything that was a duty and responsibility that fell under the deputy port director's role, and that included some supervisory work, came to me as the port director. I've said this to this group before, but if you're looking for somebody on this staff that's got the most flex time on a daily basis, it's me. And it's a job I did for 7 years before I became the port director, so it wasn't like there was a learning curve for me to climb. So it was very easy for me to take that portion of what was on Sharon's shoulders off of her and bring it back in-house under the port director. Another part of the rationale for that was the port director position was created about 14 years ago when the port director at the time wanted somebody who would run the port while they paid a little bit more attention and focus and did all the fundraising for what was the expansion project. Before that time, there was no such thing as a deputy port director. To go back to that construct going forward was not an unnatural thing either. So we no longer have a port director. What Sharon's duty title now is, She's the Port of Alaska Modernization Program Director, and we are weaning away from her everything else. Part of the big heavy lift to make that happen is we need to fill the vacant engineer, port engineer position. We've kind of changed the name a little bit. It is now the Port Engineering Manager. If you look on the org chart here, it is vacant, but the job advertisement is on the street. It should close out the end of this week, and we'll hopefully have some names to look at and a hire to make, and we can put somebody in that position, and Sharon can then get rid of all of those duties with some overlap time with a new person. We're also, you know, we've also had on the street a request for a proposal for a grant writing support. That closed out yesterday, and we're reviewing the proposal that came in, and we would hope to put on contract here pretty soon somebody to assist with the heavy lifting, all of the administrative part and most of the writing for all the grant applications that we do going forward, so that once again, that's not a burden that's on one person on the port staff. So it won't be a face on the staff, but it'll be a contractor providing that support. As everybody knows, last meeting was Stuart Gray Donis's last meeting, and with us now is Shannon Martindale, and we'll let Shannon introduce herself when I get through with my stuff. And she has taken on the operations and maintenance part of what Stuart did. The facility security officer part of what Stuart did has been transferred to Jim Jaeger. And his new duty title is security and business continuity. Jim's doing everything that he did before, and he's taken that position and turned it into something far greater than what it was when he first got here to begin with. But he's also taking on the facility security officer responsibilities as well. You know, another part of the method to the madness here too is that when I got here 12 years ago, every one of the positions on the port staff except for the administrative assistant and the two clerks was a mayoral appointee. And port director, deputy port director, port engineer, finance person, and on and on and on. They were all mayoral appointees, which means that there is a possibility that any new change in administration could mean that somebody would come in and just clean house down here at the port, and all of that continuity could conceivably go out the door. So to prevent that from happening, I've very slowly been converting most of those positions to non-represented positions, and that means that Shannon's is now non-represented, and those are the ones that are in the kind of the beige color on the chart here. All those positions are non-represented, so that provides a certain amount of continuity so that if somebody does come in and want to remove more than just a port director, that there are people here with knowledge and experience that just can't be asked to go away. You know, there has to be a darn good reason for them. And so that was the other part of this transition, was to do that as well. And I kind of hope that, and we are just about done. Everything is complete with the exception of hiring the engineering manager. Now, underneath the engineering manager, you see a dotted line to something called the GIS technician. Again, because we need to get Sharon out of all of the workload with respect to GIS-related things. The initial thought was to put somebody in an additional position on the port staff to do that. After conversations with the city that has an organization called GDIC, and I won't begin to guess what it stands for, but it is GIS-related. They provide a level of, or they're attempting to provide a level of standardization for all things GIS throughout the entire municipality. Instead of hiring a person that would be separate from that organization, we've come to an agreement with them where we would help finance the hiring of another person that would have a focus on all things port as it relates to GIS stuff. And that person would get an office down here. They would spend most of their time here. As I understand it, it may be more of a space that will always be filled than a consistently the same face that we see down here. But we will get all of the port GIS related things taken care of without having to worry about sitting in a queue waiting for somebody over on the GDIC side of the house to get around to it, or to have to pay R&M as part of the engineering services contract to do most of that work. So that's kind of the way that's been set up over there. I hope I haven't confused you, more than tried to explain this. I thought I did a better job laying it out in the email, quite honestly. I should have just read that to you. But that's what I did want to say about this.
Just a couple quick questions, Steve. I thought you'd mentioned before you were looking at outsourcing the port engineer. That's not the case.
That thought might have crossed our minds. What we had done, not necessarily an outsource, what we have done in the interim is there's a company called PTS that has a contract with PM&E, and we have been using that contract for a lot of the administrative responsibilities and doing all of the paperwork, preparing all the paperwork for the assembly actions and such. They've been doing that for us for quite a few years now. We've kind of ratcheted up in the short term, ratcheted up the amount of work they're doing to take a little bit more off of sharing shoulders in that world. When we bring a new engineering manager on board, then we will begin to wind down the level of effort that PTS is performing for us. It'll probably never go away. But we'll ratchet that back down so that and let the in-house person do all of the oversight in that area too. And this new engineering manager will also be responsible for, you saw the dotted line to the GIS technician. So they'll coordinate those efforts. They will also be the in-house lead on the grant writing going forward.
Okay. Yeah, that was my other question. Who was going to be overseeing the grant writing from the third party?
Yeah, it's going to, that's going to take a while because, Sharon's been doing it for so darn long and doing it well that there's a lot of nuance. And there's also some process that we have to get our arms around with respect to all of the federal software that you got to input all of this stuff into, little by little. We have to figure out where that, who's going to really be the button pusher, who's going to do the writing, and who's going to do the button pushing. And is it a reasonable thing to do to divide that up, or does all one person have to do that? So we'll work through all of that and not let the quality and the frequency of grant applications suffer in the meantime.
Thank you, Steve. Unless there's some other questions from the commission, Part D is COVID-19 operational impacts, but let's see if there's any questions from the rest of the commissioners first. Anyone else? Okay, I guess we'll go on to Part B, COVID-19 operational impacts, Steve.
Okay, well, and Jim's been doing a pretty good job of keeping you up to speed on all the all the related activities or the lack of related activities as a consequence of all of this. The biggest impact on us from a financial perspective has been that we've lost 100% of the cruise ship season. And that's not only the port call related dockage and a little bit of wharfage revenue that we would make, but it also has eliminated that our portion of what was the state collected head tax that was reapportioned out to all the ports that support the cruise industry during the year. And I'll let Cheryl correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that amounts to about $250,000 on an annual basis to our bottom line. which algebraically is like 12% of what our annual revenue is. So that's going to be a loss that we will see by the end of the season. Other COVID related losses, I would have to defer to the Matson and Tote representatives or the petroleum guys who are here to give you an anecdotal sense of what the impact has been on them. But other than that, when it comes to vessel traffic here, we've not seen a loss of port calls beyond the cruise ships as a consequence of this. Matson and Tote come in twice a week. That hasn't stopped yet. Tankers and petroleum tankers and barges are coming and going. We have our first dry bulk carrier bringing cement in here in the near future. So all of that is ongoing, like nothing is happening. So we're kind of grateful that that's the case along those lines. Process changes around here. I think once again, we have not been asked to do anything extraordinary by any of the tenants with respect to reaction to dealing with the coronavirus. One thing that we have done in coordination with Customs and Border Protection is, and the Coast Guard, is we got permission to do our declarations of security via email, as opposed to waiting for the vessel to arrive and sending somebody on board to swap paperwork with the security people on the vessel. So, and that's probably something that we'll, continue to do after this is over, because it just has been so efficient and makes so much sense. So, as I said, that is, the lion's share of what's been going on here related to the coronavirus. And I'll let, Sharon talk about what the what Pacific Pilot Marine did as a run-up to this year's construction to cover those issues. I know we did have some conversations with Matson and Tote early on about temperature testing folks coming and going from the port. We've got no mandate from the city to do that. And I'm kind of a mind that, if it's something that, isn't mandated because it's going on throughout the entire municipality, we will be supportive of whatever the tenants down here want to do. And if they're not pushing the issue, I'm certainly not going to push the issue. And I think I don't think anybody has reported that there have been any new cases as a consequence of the way we're doing things now. So, and that's really all I have to say on that subject.
Do you see an uptick on petroleum products? I read there was an article, I can't remember which newspaper it was in, but talking about how Anchorage air cargo was the busiest in the world. And
it was, I don't know if that was a one-day wonder kind of thing. That's, somebody that was watching, was saying based on everything that's going on, when they looked at the air cargo traffic on whatever that particular day of the week was, when they took that snapshot, the highest amount of volume and activity was going on here in Anchorage. I mean, we all know that the, that this, Ted Stevens Airport is pretty consistently in the top five in the world for landed cargo weight. And that really hasn't changed. And they've been, they've been driving the a lot of the jet fuel requirement here. I don't know whether they got the, they got that tag pinned on them because they were busier or they were the most busy on that particular day the snapshot was taken. But we thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. So Part C, Portland acquisition or right of entry.
Oh God!
Looks like Sharon might have something. Sharon.
Yeah, somebody have to. But that's all about
the South Floating Dock piece of work.
Okay, do you want to take that on? Or I could right now.
Yeah, that's it's a necessary task because of the arrangement of the PCT with the South Floating Dock And when everything all shook out, we realized we needed some additional land on the south end of the port, so we have to go through that process with the railroad, first of all, but there are also the sublets, which is Marathon, and I'm working the project needs side of it, and Steve and Cheryl are working the acquisition side of it. So, Steve, if you want to talk about that, that would be great.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I don't know why I needed my memory. Well, I do know why I needed my memory refreshed. I have a brand new Medicare card, so I hit that time in my life. As Sharon said, you know, the South Floating Dock cannot stay where it currently is located, and that's the one we all used to call the Coast Guard float. For those of you that haven't been keeping up with port nomenclature here, we now call it the South Floating Dock. It cannot be where it is now when the PCT build out is complete, because then you can't get to it safely with all the mooring dolphins that are going to have to get put in place to accommodate the PCT. So it's got to move south of that current location. And that's onto property that we don't own as the municipality or the port, but it is railroad property. And the land side is subleased to Marathon, and the water side is the railroads. So we have two entities that we have to talk to come up with an arrangement for either leasing it and eventually purchasing it, or leasing it for some extended period of time so that we have a place to go with the South Floating Dock, which serves a very important purpose, other than convenience, quite frankly, for a lot of players, the most important of which is the fire department. They can't leave their rescue vehicles out of the water and hope the tides are right at the South boat launch when the need arises to get it in the water. So they leave it in the water here for the most part all summer long. So it serves that important purpose for rescue and recovery. And that's also how the Manson guys get their crew changes done on the dredge when it's here. And there's a whole lot of, you know, one-off opportunities where we, you know, at the end of the day, we say, man, I'm glad we have that because of things that just pop up that are going on around here. So it's got utility. It's not a nice to have. It's a need to have. And we needed to have a new home for it. So, you know, Cheryl and I are working the document, you know, the administrative part of making this process work, while Sharon and the Jacobs guys are working the design and construction part of moving it. And we've got the conversation started with both Marathon and the railroad. You know, it was a little tough getting out of the starting gate, but we are definitely out of the starting gate now. Is Paul Mailer on? I think Paul Mailer is here, and I want to thank Paul for helping us get the show on the road on the Marathon side of things. For this, we've made quite a bit of progress in a very short amount of time, thanks to whatever you did, Paul. Appreciate it.
Okay. Board Director's comments. D, PCT financing, Port of Alaska Terminal Tariff Number 9 update.
Oh, okay. That's a lot. That's a lot. What I'm going to say is probably going to take less time than it took you to say that. It's a little too early in the year to have anything substantive to say with respect to are all the revenue forecasts that went into this plan that you guys approved as part of this most recent tariff. Have they put us in a position yet where we can take a relook or we have something to say about what the possible outcome of a relook is going to be? Too early for that. But just so that everybody is reassured, we haven't forgotten that a big part of what, you know, we got from the Assembly's approval for this tariff was that we would, before the end of the year, take a good hard look at what, you know, if all those revenue forecasts that went into what it was that we said we needed to set the rates at, if that is coming to pass either as forecast or better than forecast, are there recommendations that we could make to the Port Commission for a readjustment at the end of the fiscal year? We've got to.
Oops, you got muted. You got muted.
See? I don't. How far back did I get muted?
Because I didn't
touch the thing. I'm sorry.
Just for a second, you're fine.
I won't start way over again. I will say that we've got a contract in place with Parrish Blessing and Associates, and that's Bill Wilkes and his group, and you guys remember them from the whole tariff study. They will be doing this relook for us, probably sometime, we'll start sometime in third quarter and have something for you. And you know how our timeline always works. We'll have to get you something in advance enough of the end of the fiscal year so that the assembly can deal with it intelligently at the same time they're dealing with all the other municipal budget stuff for the next fiscal year. We don't want it to get lost in the mix. And we're committed to doing that. And as we get closer to stuff actually happening, we will be a little bit more forthcoming with details. But right now we don't have any, just a reassurance. I meant the reassurance that we've got the processes in place and the contractor on the hook to do all that for us when the time is right to start.
Okay. Any questions from the commissioners for Steve on the financing aspect of this, the PCT? No? We'll move to E, PAMP planning update.
Yeah, I'm going to defer E to Sharon because I think she's going to address that.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to informational items, Fort Modernization Program from Sharon.
Okay, thanks. And I'm going to rush a little bit because I have a 1 o'clock meeting that has to do with PAMP planning and some of the grant administration that we've got going on. And the only time that this meeting could happen was one. So I'm going to rush through this. But first, I'm going to, until we get our engineering manager on board, I'll give you a quick update on all the miscellaneous engineering construction stuff we have going on. And a young lady named Nicole Rehm from PTS, who's a registered engineer and a project manager, has been taking more and more off my plate and managing that for us, and it's been great. And so that's a good thing. We have a standing meeting every week to go through things, so it's still getting oversight, but she's really taking good care of business. So real quick, the projects that we have going on is out to bid. The wharf pile jackets should be out any day. We're doing a stevedore sewer replacement. Stevedore building on Toadstock had a freeze up this year and the pipeline all got broken. Those drawings are 99% complete. We're working through the building permitting piece of it, and we'll have those out to bid shortly. And that's to replace the sewer the Stevedore building back to the mainland, and also we'll be upgrading the lift station pumps there. So that we really want to take care of those guys. They've been more than patient, but it takes what it takes to get that design done. It's actually quite extensive.
Hey, I'm in a port commission meeting, or I'm listening to a port commission meeting.
Alex, can you mute yourself, please? Thanks. Okay, we also are our fender repairs are probably going to have to be delayed into next year, mostly because of permitting issues. There's concern about driving piling for the fender repairs, in addition to all the piling we're doing for PCT, environmental permitting questions with that. So we're relying on those big, heavy chains to hold those things up one more year. Good news is it looks like we got another pre-disaster mitigation grant to pay for the remainder. So we'll have to juggle getting those grants executed with keeping the Corps and the marine fisheries people happy. So that's what's going on with that. You probably won't see it this year. We're doing storm drain. Now we have a fair amount of earthquake repairs that are going on. We're going to reline the Povey because some of that liner pulled apart at the boots. So we've got that just If it's not out to bid today, it will be tomorrow. We have asphalt repairs throughout, I think it's mostly the yards north of the administration building suffered quite a lot of cracks. We're going to be doing a whole bunch of crack repair there. And that should hit the street real quickly. Let's see, also for the segueing kind of into the petroleum cement terminal work and the PAMP work, we're doing two, let's call them investigative projects this year. One is we're doing a survey, baseline elevation survey of the wharf deck itself. We want to know exactly what elevation is that thing at. So if we start to see, we'll measure it now as a baseline. We'll check it in the fall. And we'll, if we start to see any subtle changes in the surface of the deck itself, it'll give us some indication of, something happening underneath that we need to pay attention to. Now, what's happening underneath? The other job that's out to bid, if not today, tomorrow, we sent it to purchasing yesterday, is the underwater inspection of the piling. It'll be a three-level thing. First, a tactile inspection of every piling under the wharf. Then quite a few of them will get ultrasonic testing, many, many more than in the previous time when we did that in 2014. And then some of them will get the high-density sonar inspection that we showed you guys at a previous meeting. So those two items together, the underwater inspection reports and the baseline deck elevation, will give us a good way to keep an eye on what we've got, and that's a situation we have to watch closely as we keep doing the planning, because everyone wants to know what days are going to fall down. Well, we can't tell you that, of course, by the day, but we can definitely have a much better idea of what we got going on. So that's all the things that are going on.
This is Stephanie. Hey, I've got a quick question. It just dawned on me, and this is a stupid question, but what's your point of reference for measuring the deck elevation, the base elevation on the
control points?
Yeah, what are you using to measure against?
Which data? Well, we just met with CRW engineers yesterday. They're doing the survey, and we're going to coordinate with the same one that we use for we also met with the municipal surveyor. So I'm not sure where they ended up with that, because they were going to sort that out and get back to me, but our main thing is that we're coordinated with our storm drain elevations, and that we're all in the same place.
Yeah, it just dawned on me what you would be using for your frame of reference to measure the elevation, because
I think it's going to be the 72 datum, the 1972 okay. Date. That's where we were going with it yesterday.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Now, so that takes us into the PAMP situation. The PCT, of course, is kind of the star of the show right now. We have two cranes out there setting. They've begun permanent pile. What they're doing is building a temporary trestle alongside where the permanent trestle will be, and then they'll use that as a work platform to build the permanent trestle. And they have begun. They're far enough out. They kind of walk themselves out on the temporary trestle as they build it, and then they from that are driving the piling for the permanent work. And people say, well, why don't you just walk yourself out on one trestle and be done with it? Well, you don't want all that construction equipment, that heavy stuff pounding away on what's going to be your ultimate deck. This is the best way to have the best product, and also gives them best accessibility to the work. Then the big barge, it's called the Storkron, which I think means big crane, is coming up. I believe it left last night from Seattle with the platform piling on it. And keep in mind, these piling are 200 feet long in one piece. So this is kind of a big deal. It's like two-thirds of a football field. And the cranes have to be big enough to set those things, in one piece. So we'll see. When that thing shows up, it's the largest barge-mounted crane on the West Coast. It'll be actually a pretty cool thing for any cranes. And it'll be working on the platform side. And so the contractor's done an amazing job of keeping the schedule as close as he could with COVID-related issues, because so much of this work had to happen in Seattle. And as you know, Washington State has some pretty severe restrictions. They had a couple of people that did not have COVID on the crew, but they were exposed, and so they had to go into quarantine. All in all, we were about 3 weeks 3 or 4 weeks behind where we'd like to be, but once they get up and get production done, we'll know how lasting of an effect that really is. So we have 4 whale watching stations. One of them is out by the airport. Wait, just kind of an advance notice. There's belugas heading your way. Then we have one at the north end of the port, one at the small boat launch, and one, oh, help me out, Jim, that other one just flew out of my head, near the project, put it that way. So that's all going cooking along, and we're just beginning the impact piling. So folks on Government Hill may start hearing that. We're doing vibration monitoring. We're we're watching it pretty closely. So that's what's going on with that. And then the rest of the planning, we've been meeting, had quite a few periodic meetings with Mattson and Tote. Maybe Alex can speak to this at question time. Tote's been doing a lot of their own internal planning, and they're to a point where they want to share some ideas with us, which is pretty soon, I think. And we want to gel the main components of this thing with the users before we go forward, so that we don't have any, we don't revisit some of the PCT development hiccups in terms of people not, everybody's input being well acknowledged and well considered. So that's what's going on. Questions? Oh, the big news is the second phase of the PCT, I left off the biggest thing, went out to bid today. So the 2021 work was advertised, is on the street as of today. We'll open bids around July 6th, depending on, what addendums we have and whatnot. But, it's out there, and we know we've had pretty good interest. Contractors calling, when's this coming out? There'll be quite a bit of piping and that kind of thing on this one, so it's a little different, mix of subcontractors than, the current contract. And there'll be some pile driving for the mooring dolphin, the mooring and resting dolphins, and some big piles, 12-foot diameter piles, but not that many of them. And so the rest of that work will all be the piping for the fuel offload system, and the utilities and all that kind of thing, hose tower, all that stuff.
Do we have any percentage drops in cost on steel here since last year's bid?
I don't have that at the top of my head, but we'll, I know our cost estimates, we keep revisiting those, and they're hanging in there where they were. So can't say too much, and now that it's out to bid, we don't put a lot of of our own cost estimate on the street, of course, because we want to know what the contractors think it costs.
I was just curious if there's...
I will say that the contract is very clear that it's Buy American. It must meet the Buy American effect. And the Buy American Act, and that's to be comply with the grants that we have. So it will be following those parameters.
Okay, any other questions for Sharon before she has to duck out?
Just quickly, Sharon, I wasn't able to open any of those attachments. They need to be a PDF for some reason the contractor about placement, and maybe if you email them to the office, they'll have a better luck. You have those emails, I assume.
Right, I do.
Is that associated with the navigation restrictions?
Right, just, as the summer looms, and between the dredge and the construction, PO2 is going to be somewhat challenging to approach.
Right. Okay, I'll have them reconnect with you and try to make sure you get something. The other thing we can do, if you're going to be in town, I can get them on a flash drive for you. You can let me know that. Also, since you brought it up, we're also going to be doing an acoustic monitoring as part of the requirements for the environmental permit. We'll be having a bunch of hydrophones out there, listening, for the pile driving impacts and really measuring and getting some data that we hope going forward on the rest of the PAMP and the WARP work that will help us ease the permitting process, so it won't be quite so, it'll be a little more, it'll be easier next going forward, because we're giving them a lot of good, them being the permitting agencies, the better information on what the sound travel in that thing really, in the ocean really is.
Okay. If you see any major restrictions that you think might impact the barge operations, will you let me know, Ron?
And we'll, we've been pretty careful with coordinating with the Corps also. Go ahead, Ron.
I was just going to say, if you want to leave a jump drive with Diane or out of the desk, I can come in today.
Today? Let me see if I can get that together that quickly. I'll see. Okay. I'll let you know what's right. How about that?
That'll be out and notice Mariners probably. Is there anything that can be posted online for people to review or?
I don't know. I'll take a look at that. It definitely noticed to Mariners, especially on the hydroacoustic stuff. We work closely with the Corps on the work plan to make sure we're not going to impact the maintenance dredging at all. And we have talked to, but we have been working with Ron and also Andrew. I think Andrew Wakefield. Ron, does that sound right? Yeah. And when Ron's been unavailable. So, okay. Well, I will get a jump drive together and let you know as soon as it's ready for you.
Okay. Item B, Finance Director Cheryl.
Okay, I'm going to sign off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Hi, everyone. So I'm assuming that everyone received their financial report with their packets that were sent out. Is that correct? Or should I share my screen?
We have them in our packets.
Okay.
I don't know if any of the folks online need to see it or if they have access to it, the non-commissioners.
I can just share it. Let me just share it quickly. There we go. So this report that we sent out, that I sent out, was as of March the 31st. The numbers for April are being finalized, and we're hoping that to have everything by Friday, the Central Finance will post all the journals, and we can update for April, and we'll have that more current information as of Friday. But as of today, through March, we are... And it's not really anything too exciting. One of the biggest items that I'll point out to everyone, you'll note that I have included the first quarter budget revisions in our budget for this year. And the liquid bulk wharfage was increased by the calculated tariff revenue increases that we expect to receive to the tune of about $1 million. So you'll see if you look at the budget that was prepared and submitted to the Assembly in 2019 for 2020, this number was about 1.18. So we increased the expectation, and we'll see how we go. It's the target through March is very good. It's 20%. So as time goes on, we'll just keep that closely monitored. That was one of the most, I was happy to see that it was 20%, given the fact that we have everything going on. Nothing else really too exciting to report. You'll see the construction investment, you know, that group at City Hall hasn't prepared anything for us so far in 2020. But I think by the end of April, we should see, you know, what earnings on cash reserves we have. Personnel and non-labor, like I said, you know, before, nothing too exciting. Everything is just rolling right along. We haven't seen a decline in the tonnage. We haven't seen a decline in activity. And as Steve mentioned, our biggest challenge or effect of the COVID-19 will be the cruise ship revenue that we lose and the commercial passenger vessel tax that we get distributed from the state of Alaska. So those are the, you know, significant items to report at this time. I have, and I can take any questions.
On the legal with COVID-19 and the impacts of the court system, do you see that continuing? I see the we're down quite a bit from the anticipated or the budgeted for 2020. Is that timing, or do you think that'll extend out through the year due to the COVID-19 closing a lot?
So I think it's a, you know, I'll add my two cents, and then if Steve wants to jump in, he can. So what the numbers reflect is a situation. The Seyfarth Shaw contract was at its maximum capacity. So Bob Owens and the port put through an amendment to the contract for $2.5 million, and it passed the assembly 2 weeks ago. So that will be added to their authorization to spend. So I think the bills were held up basically because we were working on the amendment to the contract. But I also know that Bob adjusted the expectation for the amendment to the contract based on the fact that things were potentially going to move a little bit slower. So for 2020 services, which is what we only want to capture in our budget for the year, it's an annual budget. So whatever contract adjustments that they make, you know, we can't really capture it in this budget to carry it to 2021. So we decided we would do everything for 2020 and then address any additional legal expenses in 2021. So that being said, I don't really have any details on what that process is and where they're at specifically, but maybe if Steve, if you want to add anything.
Well, with respect to the accounting, I can't say anything. It isn't going to confuse people. You pretty much laid it out there about as good as it could be laid out. Progress on the litigation is another matter. We are still waiting to hear back from the judge on his motion on his ruling on the motion for summary judgment that the government filed all subsequent to that mini trial that was held in San Francisco. It's been pretty quiet. The legal guys will say, you know, they're not anxious just yet. This guy is in the habit of taking several months to respond. So I'm going to kind of keep my fingers crossed that that's actually what's happening, and we'll hear something, you know, in short order. But we've got nothing new to report beyond what we talked about the last time, which was that the mini trial had come and gone. And the takeaway from the city attorneys and from the municipal manager who was there and our contract attorneys was that we fared a heck of a lot better than the government did with respect to making our case. But I've got nothing more to say about it. You know, there's nothing more to report.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission on the budgetary items? I know Bob's got something to say.
Surprisingly, I don't. It's very clear. Thank you.
So one of the things that I wanted to add, you know, Steve gave the recap for the tariff review. And one of the things that we're excited to see is how the bid comes in July. Sharon mentioned that we should have that July the 6th. So that will give us the ability to know what the bid is for the construction in 2021, you know, what monies we have received. And so, you know, we expect when we're able to bring you the report at the end of the year that you'll have great information and it'll be, you know, clear, and we'll be able to really see where we're at as far as the funding requirements for the petroleum and cement terminal as it relates to rates. So I'm tracking it very closely with the hope that we have great things to report in September.
I just have one quick question, Cheryl.
Yep.
On the net income, looks like we're down 400.
Right, and that's probably, Ron, I mean, I looked at that. That's probably due to the cash and construction investment pool. And plus, we have, you know, a lot more business in the summertime than in the first 3 months of the year. So due to the fact that the business isn't, you know, the revenue divided by 12, you know, I think that's why we see that. I would expect by the next report, maybe certainly by the end of June, that we'll start to see a positive number. And right, and that's including depreciation in that number. So the minus 401 includes our depreciation, which is a non-cash item, which that means we just actually don't provide any outlay, right? So sure. but that's kind of, you know, that's kind of my take on it, right? You know, public finance did not record our investments, and we have a lot of money in the construction accounts being held there to fund the construction this summer. So we actually haven't spent that money. So when they do all the calculations for all of the earnings on that, you know, we should see some, you know, some nice numbers in that spot.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone else have questions for Cheryl? Okay. Moving on. Superintendent of Operations and Maintenance. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, thank you. So, as you know, I'm Shannon Martindale. I don't have much to report other than learning and listening and meeting all of you this afternoon. So I am excited to be here in the learning opportunity. My eyes and ears are open, and I look forward to, as you folks are around the office, if you pop in, introduce yourself, and going forward. So thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Shannon? And it was nice to meet you the other day with Stuart. Welcome, Shannon.
Yes, thank you.
Director of Business Continuity and External Affairs, Mr. Jim.
Hello. Just really short. Mainly we are responding to all the various schedule changes because of COVID in terms of having to rethink our fundraising efforts with the legislature and the administration. We are moving forward with that. We have some legislative tours starting in about 2 weeks. I'm starting to get back into the speaking mode where I'll be doing virtual presentations, not unlike this meeting, instead of going to organizations. So, for instance, the first week of June, I'm going to be at the Matanuskas, who sit in a Chamber of Commerce meeting. Oops, excuse me, my computer just fell over. And I guess the last thing that I'll bring up is we're doing a media event with the mayor and local media tomorrow for the petroleum and cement terminal. Are there any questions?
How's your swap into the port security realm going?
So far, so good. Stuart had had the organization running very well, and you know there are no significant changes that I am thinking about. I think it's going to be to continue what's been a successful program. And actually, I would like to hear your feedback on this meeting and how you think we can improve this meeting. We don't know if the next meeting will be a regular live meeting or back online. Regardless, I think we're going to end up using Zoom as some component, or not, I'm sorry, not Zoom, Teams as some component of our future meetings when people can't attend in person. So we're just trying to put the bugs out. Let me know what you think.
Okay. How are we sitting with the open to public process with this? Is this meeting all the requirements? I mean, I know we're in strange times.
We are following the public notification rules. We've actually, because the bandwidth did not seem to be a problem, originally we were going to have the public meetings in on telephone. Because the bandwidth hasn't been a problem, we got emails out to the folks who had asked for phone invites so that they can participate either by video or phone. So that seems to be working. You know, we really have a couple of different challenges. We have the bandwidth challenge in terms of can the system handle all these video feeds and not have people pixelating and voices breaking up, that sort of thing. And then we have a security challenge in that the reason we're not using Zoom is that Zoom bombing has become a thing where people will hack into meetings that they're not supposed to be at and, you know, participate inappropriately, maybe get information that is not public information, you know, depending on the media, it varies. The Teams format that we're using, the Muni IT department has selected this program because it seems to be secure and functional. I think our limit is something like 200 people can be in this meeting, so that should be fine for any likely port commission meetings we have. So it seems to be software that will work for us. We're just learning to use it properly.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions for Jim? Okay, thank you, Jim. Old business. I don't think we have anything out there, do we, Steve?
No, we do not, Mr. Chair.
Okay, new business.
Same answer. This was a this was an informational opportunity since we've since it's been a couple of months since we all last met, and as Jim had mentioned, an opportunity to get our feet wet trying to use this Microsoft Teams process to not have to put these meetings on hold until we can all get back together again physically.
And I applaud the effort, Steve. However, I must say that the lunch is disappointing.
Well, part of what we struggled with is how do we get pizza delivered to all of you, so you don't feel left out.
I'm eating a virtual sandwich.
Yeah. we have a couple of months, I guess, before we meet again to figure out how to do that.
Okay. Moving on, opening up to public comments. I'd like to hear how it's working for those of you that have joined us as well. So any public comments?
Yeah, this is Eugene Haberman. Could I speak?
Yes, go ahead, Eugene.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a timer too. I have a timer with me. Okay, my name is Eugene Carl Haberman. Alaska resident for over 42 years, resident 20 years in Anchorage, and current resident of Mesa Valley. I follow the public process. When the public process is done appropriately, decision made by the governing body is more likely in the public interest. Note my phone number, 907-632-9449. Also, my email address, eugene@mtaonline.net. Now, first of all, I know we're in difficult times. It's hard. And I appreciate what you've been trying to do with setting up this meeting, but it falls short, unfortunately. You were noting presentations and so forth, documents and so forth. The public could not see that. We were blind to that. I did see an email that noted that the public would only be connected basically with an audio. The end result is documents could have been put out there, and submitted so that we could have seen that before the meeting. But we were blind to that. Now, there's a lot of changes, and the port's going through a lot of hard times. That's obvious with the numbers coming through, and there's a question on the future. But even now, it's even more with the World Health Crisis that the conversation with the public is even more vital, not less vital, as far as opportunity for the public to speak and listen and so forth before you make decisions. I see there's been a lot of changes. I listened intently to the meeting, and I appreciate at least the opportunity to be able to hear you and hear from you. But also note, you have said this before, when anyone's speaking, please state your name and also who you are, because people who may be listening may not know who you are, even if you say your full name, the title, and so forth. That would be great. That would be very much helpful. And then I note I have 1 minute and 7 seconds left, keeping a clock on this for me so I don't overdo my time and speaking, but before we had this crisis, it was a problem getting the documents out there on the site. Remember, all the months and months went by, Genda finally showed up. Yes, the Genda is there. Thank you for sending it to me when I signed up to be able to be connected. There's a password, whatever, to do that. I appreciate that arrangement and what you've done there, and I know this is may perhaps the first time you've done this, but the idea is that information that you had passed around, the public needs to see that, and it shouldn't be a side window that you see it and the public doesn't. and be participant in that conversation. Because how can I respond when I don't have the information before you? And then for a note, my email address is eugene@mtaonline.net. Please send me that information. I look forward to receiving it and reviewing it. And good luck. My time's up by my clock here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eugene. Jim, can you confirm that those documents will be made available, and can we make sure we try and get those out and posted online before?
I will get them posted this afternoon on the port website.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comments, please? Hearing none. Commissioner comments?
Yeah, if I may, Simon Leshetsky, Port Commissioner. Welcome to Shannon, and congratulations to Steve becoming a senior citizen. I guess you had a birthday soon. And I think that this Teams meeting worked fine, and it seems like we're not going to have a bandwidth issue going forward. But the question is, if we have meetings like this in the future, would they count as being a proper meeting with a quorum if we were all offline as a question? Because before, if you were on a telephone conference, it wasn't considered.
Yes. Hey, Simon. This is Steve. We actually, several years ago, because we're allowed by code to have a couple of members of the commission who are not citizens of Anchorage, Ron Ward being one of them, that we were given the accommodation to count anybody who calls in by phone as present.
Okay. Thank you. I'd forgotten that, but thank you very much. Okay, great. That's it from me.
Yeah, this is Bob. I have no comments, but appreciated being able to do the meeting.
This is Aves, Port Commissioner. I've sat through several meetings on different formats of this meeting arrangement sort of thing, and this is as good as any, and I compliment you on choosing this one. Congratulations on your staff realignment and duties realignment, and welcome, Shannon.
This is Stephanie Kessler, Port Commissioner, and just echoing what everyone said, I think we're all turning into pros with, or at least pseudo pros with, collaborative software like Teams and Zoom, and I think we've done a good job on this one. And again, welcome, Shannon, and congratulations to both Jim and Sharon for their new responsibilities. Good job.
Okay, anyone else?
Ron Ward, Port Commissioner. That's to echo the earlier sentiments. We have been meeting some of the state boards that I'm on with Zoom and without incident, Jim, but I find this to be every bit as useful, although on that platform you can see everyone, whereas here I can only see four people, the most recent speakers, but that's fine. Congratulations, Sharon, and welcome, and just echo everybody else's sentiments. I appreciate all the extra work that's going on with PCT and modernization, and look forward to seeing some physical progress there at the port this summer.
Pulaski, Port Commissioner, and in addition to saying I had no comment, I neglected to compliment Steve on his excellent leadership in putting the organization together.
Hey, this is Garrett Long, Port Commissioner. Just want to say Welcome aboard, Shannon. And, hey, I think this video conferencing technology is the way life is going to be from here on out. It's been real apparent that the Internet was, for some businesses, was kind of optional. It's no longer an optional. It's a mandate. So good job on the port putting this together.
Okay. I think we caught everybody. Thank you, everybody. And I agree with all the sentiments, so I won't go into it again. But thank you, everybody. Moving on, meeting schedule. I'm thinking, what are you thinking, Steve, in terms of news and whatnot? Are we good into July?
Yeah, if we're doing this right, we'd be getting into July. I'm going to call up my calendar right now, and so that would be either the 16th or the 23rd. I'm sorry, wrong day of the week. 15 or 22.
15 or 22.
Mr. Chairman, this is Aves. I might ask Cheryl, when will that financial information be available for the second quarter? Will it be ready by the 23rd of July?
So the second quarter, we won't have finalized numbers for June yet, but we'll have draft numbers. We can, I can just make that. We'll just bring the report and see what it looks like. You know, the problem is central finance they lag in posting, so it'll take some time to get everything posted. But, you know, that'll be the 15th. The tonnage reports usually come in they have to be in by the 10th. So, you know, we could just make it a goal if that's what you guys want to do.
Well, I think anything we can do to give us a, kind of a heads up on what the revenue projections are going to be. And actual performance. So.
Okay.
And July 15th is the new tax day this year. So if you really want to meet then.
I would prefer the 15th if everybody else doesn't have a problem with that. I did my taxes early. Idiot me.
Well, I hope they owed you, Simon.
No, I had to pay all sorts of fines, underpaid.
Good time. Anyone else have a preference on the 15th or the 22nd? If not, we'll go with the 15th.
I kind of like the 22nd. The 15th, I'll be at my 40th reunion at the Academy. I'm sure I'm not going to be sober enough to respond.
Well, I would be happy. I just have a doctor's appointment, so I should be on time. I should be back in time. So I think your reunion is far more.
Well, thank you, Simon, but, you know, I want to make sure you stay healthy, you senior citizens, you and Steve.
Careful now.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What was that?
Well, we can also try the 29th if that gives us better financial information.
Yeah, I think July is almost a five-week month.
Yeah, July 1st is on a Wednesday, so it's actually the 8th would be the second Wednesday. So 15th or the 29th?
Either works for me.
29 Either works for me. 29 is fine with me, Simon.
Sure.
Did that give you a better chance, Cheryl, for the financials on the 29th?
Yeah, we'll be done. We're usually done, they close around the 20th, right? So we'll be in the books on the 29th.
Well, let's take it 29th
for me.
July 29th.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. I think that concludes the work commission meeting.
And history is made.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.